Good morning, Lord. Lord, we just come to you this morning and we thank you so very much. You're such an awesome God, Lord, and we just love you. And we just offer ourselves to you this morning. We offer this time up to you right now this morning, Lord. As we look at your word and talk about it and think about it and share back and forth, Lord, we just ask that your presence would be here with us, that you would guide us, that you would just encourage us, inspire us, help your word to come alive in our hearts, Lord. And we just invite your presence to be here. We just thank you so much for all the ways that you bless our lives. Lord, we lift up the service today. We lift up the worship team. And we just lift up this whole day to you. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last week we were talking about the Spirit enabling us to obey the truth, and we got on a lot of discussion about truth. We talked about what is truth and the world's truth versus biblical truth. We talked about various kinds of truth and how the world doesn't like biblical truth because it convicts and confines. We read in John 16 that says Jesus gives us the Spirit of truth. And we read in John 14 that Jesus is the truth. And in 2 Timothy and John 17 where it says God's word is truth. So it's awesome that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the word of God are all referred to as the truth. We talked a little bit about how the world tries to push political correctness in an attempt to bully us into accepting sin. And that if we stand up and stand against sin, a lot of times today Christians are called racists, intolerant, bigots, haters, xenophobes, homophobes. I mean, the list goes on. There's all kinds of accusations that's thrown at us if we just try to stand up for the truth. But Christ died for all sin, and we're supposed to share that in truth and love. I just wanted to kind of give anyone an opportunity to comment or share any more about that. I had two scriptures that I wanted to read to wrap up the truth, and it's where Paul is talking. It warns us about abandoning or the abandonment of truth. So did anybody have any thoughts or think about any of this week or comments or anything before we read the scripture?
Yeah, I kind of did.
You kind of did?
It's interesting. Buttigieg, or however you pronounce his name, that's running for political office,
yes.
A homosexual.
Yes.
Has somehow found in the Bible that that's okay.
Found in the Bible that the
he supposedly quoted some part of the Bible where that lifestyle is okay.
Wonder what he calls the Bible.
Yeah, which Bible he was reading.
That's interesting that that's what you bring up, because we're going to look at Romans 1 and Colossians 2, and part of that section that we're looking at actually addresses that. And to me, that kind of makes it pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting, though, how so many people can pick the parts of the Bible that they want to support their...
Yeah.
And all of the Bible is true, not just the parts that they want.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's Satan's deception, because that's how Jesus.
Yeah. Twisted.
Yeah.
Twisted scripture.
Mm-hmm.
To try to trick and... Which is why we need to know Scripture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's important that we know Scripture, because if we don't, we can be confused and tricked just as easily. Well, one of them I wanted to read is Romans 1, 18 to 32. And this is... This is Paul warning about abandoning the truth. It says, Everybody there?
Yeah.
It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the Lord God for images made to look like mortal man, birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped, served things rather than the Creator. Worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who was praised forever. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. I don't see where that says it's okay.
Some of these comments are like what the people are doing.
Say that
again. I mean, like the people in high places and the Democrats, for instance, the ones that are, and the first one that comes to mind is that Nancy lady.
Nancy lady.
Yes.
That Nancy lady. Without getting political, I think that this isn't just. I think that this isn't just about people in high places. This is people in
for
high
everybody.
Places, but it's people all over the place.
Yeah.
Does this description not really fit our society today? The things that we see all over in the world today. I mean, it's almost like we looked at this and read this and went, oh, okay, that's what I'm going to turn everybody into. I mean, that's really exactly what people are doing today. And the fact that it's written clear back here in Romans by Paul tells me that it was going on then too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was going on then, and it's still going on now. And
but it's been so accepted and so pushed almost.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. It is. And that's a little bit what we talked about, you know, that whole political correctness. It's like we're being forced to accept sin. We're being mm-hmm. forced to accept things that are not okay as being okay. And
calling evil for good.
It's, yeah. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
You can't watch a television show anymore without, I mean, even a game show.
Exactly.
I've seen more game shows where somebody will win and call up their partner, and it's the same-sex partner, to celebrate.
That's
just
ridiculous.
An innocent game show.
Oh,
watch a lot of cooking competitions. I've made a joke. Too. It's like they won't even produce the show until they've got their one member that they can put on there.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, it's almost like it's you have to.
Yeah.
Like you have to have it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
been a while since I've watched TV.
Yeah.
I think the last thing I watched, I did watch the Ohio State game. But I don't turn the TV on anymore.
We watch a little Netflix here and there, but there's only so many times that you can watch, like, the Andy Griffith Show. And
yeah.
Some
of the, yeah, I know.
You
yeah.
know?
That would be the only
so,
thing I'd want to watch. If I...
So you try watching something maybe new, and you watch it, and you go, well, that's actually not a bad show. And then two shows later, there it is.
They got to throw it in your face.
They're throwing homosexuality in there. They're starting to use language. They use the Lord's name in vain. And you're like, yeah.
And okay. Constantly, and it just gives you chills. It's
yes.
like, why?
Yeah, because there's no...
Carolyn watches...
There's no point.
She watched what?
Hallmark. I said, how many times have you seen
I love the Hallmark channel. I don't can't get it, though, because I don't have cable
yeah.
or dish mm-hmm. or any of that.
Yeah, she watches it.
I watch the food shows and the decorating shows. And
that's what Sarah
yeah,
watches.
She does that too.
She loves the
Cookie.
House Hunters too. She loves that show.
So, you know, when you read this, you know, you mentioned what's his name that's running for the Dems, huh?
Is that Pete? Is that what they call it? His first name, Pete?
Yeah.
Is that
Pete? I don't know.
I forget what
Buddha. Buddha
like
yeah,
that.
Buddha is something or other.
He's only the name of a small city.
Yeah.
I was really shocked that Iowa.
Mayor.
That Iowa.
Yeah.
Made him number one.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And Bernie Sanders number two. I couldn't believe. I was so conservative and stuff. Well, obviously not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's something in this section that I find interesting, too. It says, where's it at? It says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them.
What
for
verse
since
is
the
that?
Creation, 19. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And when you think about that, I was like, well, wait a minute, what exactly is that? What exactly is that talking about? And then I started thinking about nature, and I started thinking about things like that. I mean, nature is incredible. It's like there's such amazing, incredible details, and you know you can look at the smallest blade of grass, and there's just amazing details in it. Or you can look up into space and everything in between. How do you see that? I can't even fathom how people, even if you haven't heard the gospel, even if you haven't been trying to seek any kind of religion. Just looking at that, how do you not be in awe
and what an
of the
example,
order?
What an example he gives us. Like animals, how they care for their young. They would not on purpose kill their young.
No.
Right.
And they tend to them so beautifully, and everything about it is absolutely beautiful. And we have people that, I mean, mothers that totally take it for granted and...
For instance, the crocodile who opens its mouth and lets the young sit on its mouth,
uh-huh.
if it's still open,
mm-hmm.
it's just, wow.
Yeah. What examples he gives us all through the
all of
yeah.
them. All of them. And just the detail and the order is just incredible. You know, that's something when kids go, oh, no, I believe in evolution. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in God. And I'm just like, how do you think that order? You know, they were talking in science about DNA and RNA and all the mechanics of how everything works. And I said, and I stopped them for a minute and I said, okay, wait, look at this. Every single part of this has got a specific purpose, a specific order that it repeats over and over and over and even repairs itself if there's something wrong. And how do you not see order in that? How do you not see creator, someone that had to put that order there? That's not just by chance. And, you know, there's so much today that tries to say, nope, there's science and there's religion. And they're so far apart and opposites from each other. And they're not. But kids have been told that for generations now, that they're opposites. So if you see something here that makes perfect sense to you because it's scientific proven, then that has to be true, and you have to accept science, so you accept all of science.
Mm-hmm.
And if you accept science, then you can't accept Scripture. You can't accept the Lord. That's kind of like what kids are being taught. It's like either or.
Private intellectualism.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyhow, that's Paul warning mankind, because the wrath of God's coming for all of these, all the depravity and all the perversions that's going on. Colossians talks about it in a little different way. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. Says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I love that. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and on the basic principles of this world rather than Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. That's exactly what happens. That's what's going on, is people are being taken captive through the hollow and deceptive philosophies instead of Christ. And Satan is working hard. The adversary is working hard. The adversary is working overtime and apparently has lots and lots and lots of help, because he's being so successful in this world. It's unbelievable. And it's disheartening sometimes to see how much that he's in control of, and to watch people just close their minds, not even be willing to listen, and are just totally controlled and deceived. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. If you should restart reading the Bible. I mean, how can you not know that it's still alive? It's, you know, it's all true.
But that's the whole point. When we pick up the word and read it, right? When we pick up the word and read it, when we're willing to accept it, it'll speak to us without a doubt. But there are people that have never ever picked up a Bible.
They
stay away from it. They're like, nope, I'm not touching that. You know, it's like
they want entertainment.
It's like, well, maybe, yes. I mean, we want to be entertained, especially young people today want to be entertained more than anything else. But it's like, even intelligent adults, they'll go out there and read every self-help book there is. Yes. They'll go out there and pick up every kind of book and all of this stuff. They'll go out and pick up books about philosophy and all kinds of things. But they'll steer away from the Bible because they're just like, nope.
My first husband was that way.
Religion, that's taboo.
Yeah, my first husband was that way, and he's a brilliant man. And once in a while we talk, and I've said to him, you know, It's being proven. Everything in the Bible is being proven. They're digging up things that prove that it's true. Just open it up and think about it. You're smart enough to be able to see this, but
well,
no.
Wouldn't do it.
No, to him it's like the telephone game. Somebody told somebody and somebody told somebody else, and so how could it?
And yet they'll accept science or philosophy for anything else, which has got this, which is even more so like the telephone game.
Right.
Right? I mean, scientific facts build upon previous scientific facts. And if those facts weren't facts, then they're building on something that wasn't true to begin with, and the whole thing's a shamble.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we do it, and we fill it in, and accept it as all true.
Yeah, it's true.
But we can't look at this and say, okay, this is inspired. I mean, yeah, was this written by a whole bunch of people? Absolutely. Was this written over a period of thousands of years? Absolutely.
But it's God inspired.
But it's God inspired, and it all gels together.
And it stayed the same.
How can this fit together as well? If you take time to actually look and read and study and understand, how can this fit together so well if there isn't someone guiding all of it?
Right.
I mean, it's...
He's told us in his word exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We've seen the history of the things that have happened over and over.
Yeah.
And we don't learn from it. We're doing Ezekiel now, and I'm thinking,
oh, I love Ezekiel.
I do too. How relevant it is today.
Yeah.
You know, you can listen and not hear.
Exactly.
And not see.
Yeah.
And God is... The biggest lie is God is good and he loves everybody, so he's going to make a way for everybody to go to heaven.
That is the biggest
lie. You just have to be good enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's...
It's just like when I hear people saying, I'm a good person. I do good things. I give to the poor. I do this good. Mm-hmm. I do that good. I'm kind. I'm sweet. So why not?
Why wouldn't he let me?
And I'm like... What about Jesus?
You are God then.
Yeah.
Do you know the Lord?
There, in the next one, it talks about knowing that Jesus abides in us. I already like worked on this, right? And part of that was a few weeks ago, Big John was in here and he said, well, we're all God's children, because he was talking about serving people downtown. And he said, we're all God's children. And I went, oh, wait a minute. We may be all been created by God, and we're all under God's authority, but not everyone's a child of God. And I'm not sure if he quite understood that, but hopefully he's here when we talk about that next time. But yeah, the Satan, he's the father of lies, right? He's the father of lies, and the only way to beat him is truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's truth, and that's Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus gave us the spirit of truth, and the word of God is true. I mean, it's those three things, and if we stay in those, but we, even Christians, have to be on guard all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be on guard, because, you know, don't think for a minute that a Christian can't be tricked, fooled, or drugged down by Satan. You know, look at all the in the eyes of the world, all the pastors and preachers and everyone else who has fallen, and you know, and then of course that every time you see someone who's this prominent figure, that honestly it's not God usually that elevated them to that point. It's usually people that elevate them to that point, but they put them up here on this pedestal and make them this wonderful person. And then they fall, and then people see that and go, yeah, there you go. There's Christians.
You know, it's funny, because Rod Parsley a long time ago said, when Jimmy Haggard fell, he said, unless, because you have put him up that high, he has fallen so low. But you never should have put him up that high.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because none of us are any better than anyone else.
Mm-mm.
You know, none. Nobody deserves to be elevated up above anyone else. Mm-mm. Only God. Only Jesus. But he moves in and he's subtle. You know, Satan is subtle. If you're a Christian, you're not going to go and be fooled by these obvious ploys, right?
Right.
It's not going to be like, you know, it's not going to be he dangles this thing in front of you and you go, oh, it's shiny and pretty, let me just get, you know, we're a little smarter than that. But there's all of these subtle things, there's all of these little things, and if we relax, you know, if we're in the Word every day, that's going to speak to us, that's going to equip us, that's going to convict us, that's going to encourage us, it's going to do all the things that the Word does. If we're in the Word every day, that's serious protection. If we are in Christ every day, if we are praying to Him, if we are thanking Him, if we are speaking to Him, if we are worshiping Him, if we are doing that every day, and we are in Him, that's tremendous protection against the adversary, right? If we are in the Holy Spirit, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, if we tune ourselves into the Holy Spirit, if we invite the Holy Spirit, if we invoke or exercise or even utilize the power that the Holy Spirit gives us, if we're doing that stuff every day, we're good. But when we relax, if we allow other stuff to get in the way, he's going to slip something in there.
Yeah.
Because he's just waiting. He doesn't say, oh, that one's a Christian. I'm not going to mess with him. I'll go over here. No, he's got all the other people over here. He's still working on us. He wants to drag us down.
Yeah. It's funny because when Janet had her memorial, when they had the memorial service, or not the memorial service, but when she was shown at the...
At the home? Yeah.
When we were walking out, I ran into Jeremy and Gigi, and they had just both recently been baptized. And I said, you know, guys, there's something I need to tell you. You just got baptized, and Satan is going to hit you the very hardest the minute you accept Christ and the minute you're baptized. So be on the lookout. Because I knew they were struggling. And I said, it's not a bed of roses. You're going to get hit harder than you've ever been hit. And, you know, he'll try. And we think of drugs and stuff, but he'll try. If you're not into drugs, he'll try and figure out where your weak spot is, and that's what he'll use.
Oh, he knows. Yeah, mm-hmm. He knows. And it's subtle. I mean, it's subtle. It can be a TV show. We were just talking about TV. Could be a TV show, you know, you're watching a show and it seems like it's a pretty decent show, and then all of a sudden they throw stuff in and you go, oh man, this was a good show, but I'm going to keep watching it, and you keep watching it and you keep watching it, and you just get that, you know, it's not that it's going to make you turn around and walk away from Christ, but it's just feeding that negative stuff in, mm-hmm. You know, and what we feed our brains is how we start to behave, so yep. It's just feeding that negative stuff in. Or maybe a relationship with someone at work that's just a friendship, but you enjoy being around that person, and all of a sudden it starts turning towards an attraction, and you don't recognize it, and then, you know, maybe you don't follow through with it, but those thoughts are there. And then it starts playing, and then it's that negative stuff. It's all those little teeny tiny things, you know, a disagreement with a friend or a spouse or something that goes unforgiven, right? Yeah. And then you get all this negative crap in there. You get all this negative stuff, and you start thinking stuff, and you start building resentments. And those resentments just start kind of like eating at you. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all these crazy little subtle ways that he just gets in there. He just gets in there, you know? I hear people all the time at work crying about, oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. That person got something that I didn't get, and I work harder than that person. That's not fair. And it's like, man, that can be an attitude that just grows and grows, and pretty soon, it's a resentment. Pretty soon, you start feeling sorry for yourself. You start having little pity parties, and then it's like, there it is. It's like all these little subtle things that we don't think about, Exactly. And the adversary will just get in there and just start pulling apart, man. Just get a little finger in there and just start pulling apart.
There's an answer for that.
Huh?
1 John 4:4.
Yes. There is an answer for that. There's always an answer for it in here. But that's the whole point. We have to stay here. Right? We got to keep in it. We got to stay in it. You know, if I have walked all week long and on Friday I'm going, oh, I didn't do my lesson. I didn't do this. Boy, I really dropped the ball. Not because I'm busy and trying to do it at once, but because did I really go all week long and not pick up the Word of God? But how many have done that? How many people have done, you know, how many times do we allow busyness? I mean, if you got kids or you got grandkids or you work too much or you're chasing people around and you're doing good things, maybe you're doing good things, serving God or doing wonderful things for people even or doing other stuff, but you don't pick up the Word, it creates an emptiness.
I've been guilty of that lots of times.
Huh?
I've been guilty of that lots of times.
Me too.
It nourishes us. It's our bread.
What's that?
It's our bread. It nourishes us.
Yeah.
Gives us our sustenance.
And honestly, there's a lot of people that go, oh, I have a, you know, you said bread, so this popped into my mind, like the daily bread, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that go, well, I read the daily bread every day. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. You know, that's cool. That's something. But that's not the same as getting in and reading and digging in or even just reading through. I just feel like there's something so important, because if we just look at little scriptures here and there, we don't get the whole picture.
You know, it's funny. I have prayed and prayed and prayed for my stepdaughter to come back to Christ. And she was raised Catholic and she went to Catholic school. But I have said she doesn't understand grace. And that's been the main problem between her and CJ. And so I pray about it all the time and I've asked for prayer. Well, you mentioned the daily bread. Last week she sent me a thing and said, does your church carry this? And it was a daily bread pamphlet. And I said, yeah, we do. And I thought maybe CJ had picked one up and she was checking to see if he stole it or something. Because she's very accusatory. And she didn't say any more about it, but I said, so when I came for prayer on Wednesday, I photographed ours and I said, would you like me to get you one? And she said, yeah, if you would. She said, I need to start getting back to my faith.
Amen.
And she said, I want something I can read every day. For her birthday, one of her gifts was her dad's Bible, too. I gave it to her. And she said, maybe I'll start reading this again. So then I said to her, I said, well, we also have a book. She said, does it come in like a leather bound? And I said, no, but we have a daily devotional called Jesus Calling. I said, would you like me to pick that up for you? And she said, yeah, would you? And I thought, God, you're answering prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if she'll go back to the Catholic Church. She knows she can come here. She's met a lot of people from here. But I just want her to have a relationship. Yeah. And I thought, boy, there, you know, he's answering prayers. And it's just from that little.
Oh, that's a wonderful tool.
She picked up that.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, the Book of John and the Daily Bread and, you know, all of those, they're wonderful, wonderful tools to, you know, get people to open their eyes and just start taking bites.
You're familiar with that. It's Jesus talking to you, so it's relationship. It's not.
Right.
Yeah. And so many days, the Jesus calling fits exactly what you're concerned with for that. That God speaks to us in such wonderful ways. And the same thing, you'll open up, if you read the Bible, there'll be days that I'll open the Bible and all of a sudden, even though I've read it before, this is the answer I was looking for.
Yeah.
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 Always. Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah. Every time I pick up the Word, I'm either convicted of something that's like, right? Or I'm encouraged by something, or there's some answer there that I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time there's something. There's something that feeds me every time. And you know, a lot of times I lose track of time because
when you get into that,
yeah,
oh yeah,
you get into start reading, and then you're like, oh, and you know, oh look, and here's a reference, and I wonder what that says about it, and you look back, yeah, this reference, and you look that up, and then there's three more references, and pretty soon you're like looking at this stuff and you're going, wait a minute, I remember something that was back here, and you come back here, and you're just like, you lose track of time, and you're just going, and then I'm going, oh wait, I got to go do this, or I got to do that, and it's...
I'll find myself all of a sudden looking up a commentary.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, you do, you lose track of time, because you get caught up.
Yeah.
What a great way to get caught up.
Then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I use the Bible on my phone a lot, like at work and stuff. But for me personally, there's nothing like just
picking
sitting,
up the
just reading, and just reading the pages and stuff. You know, mm-hmm. Steve said something about that last week. Matter of fact,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. There's just
plus you can make notes.
Well,
I'm making a little note.
And for some reason this. For some reason, this old Bible that's full of glue and duct tape and scotch tape and everything else, it's still the most comfortable one. It's not that other ones aren't just as good. It's just this one is very comfortable. And I don't know. I just love to pick it up and read it. But, you know, the thing is, I guess, is that we have to be in the truth, you know? That's... If we're in the truth, if we're in the Word, if we're in Christ, and if we're in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. It's our only defense.
It is our only defense. The truth is the only thing that will defeat the adversary.
That's right.
We can't on our own. And I have heard people say, oh no, I'm going to speak to Satan and I'm going to defeat him. And they're speaking their words. And I'm going, oh, be careful.
Yeah.
Because you won't defeat him with your words. You'll defeat him with these words. You know, if the things that you're saying are scriptural, then okay. But I think that sometimes even saying scripture in our own words, I think, doesn't have the power of actual scripture. Because scripture, what I love is when it says that it never comes back void.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I've told people that they were like, well, I don't talk scripture to anyone, but I share my testimony. Well, that's wonderful. That's fantastic that you're sharing your testimony, because no one can say your testimony is untrue.
Right.
Your testimony is your testimony. It's your experience of what happened to you. And if you're sharing that, they can't say, well, that's not real, because it's your testimony. But I think your testimony only opens up a door. Mm-hmm. And once you open up the door, you've got to get God's word in there. You've got to get some scripture in there, because it's the scripture that gets in there and starts working. You know, that's... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't say enough about God's word. I love it. That's all I have on the truth. So, anybody have anything else on that? Any other comments or ideas? No, we're good. You think we all understand that? We're all good? How much time are we left? Oh, not much. Okay, I don't think we'll start this other than. Next week, it's number 37. It is the Holy Spirit enables us to know that Jesus abides in us. It only gives two verses, because that page usually only gives one or two verses, but I end up with pages of stuff because...
You research.
I just go in and research stuff, so... Honestly, I've got us reading all the way back, 1 John, going all the way back to 1 John 1 and reading all the way through stuff. Because I don't think you can just pick out a verse or two here and there. I think you got to get that context in. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 48, 9:48. So we'll wrap it up. Anybody have anything that they want prayer for specifically?
We're going down to see Michael right at church to meet his new girlfriend.
To meet his girlfriend.
And we saw a picture of her, but we haven't met her yet. We're going to meet her. So, and she's a Christian. She goes to Bible college down there. And I think she goes to the same church. They're going to the same church. So anyway, we've been praying about that for a long time. I think this is God's answer. And so just keep him in, his Absolutely. Journey in prayer,
And for Jill, I hope that some of the stuff she's reading ignites in her a desire to read more and more.
Yes.
Did you say Jill?
Jill. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you said Joe for a minute. I'm like, yeah, and I was like, Joe, and I was like, no, wait, she's not talking.
I have two people, and they're both named Karen.
Mm-hmm. The two Karens.
Two Karens.
Okay. Lord, we thank you so much. Oh, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us something so valuable, Lord. It's not only an instruction, it's food. It sustains us. It keeps us on the right track. It draws us to you. It tells us how much you love us. And it is an instruction book for living life, Lord. You tell us that if we follow this, we will have joy, and you want our joy to be complete, and what a wonderful joy it is, Lord. If we hang on to you and your word, the world can be in turmoil all around us, but we can still find your peace, and that's a blessing. Help us, Lord, to share that, because there's so many people, Lord, that need it, so many people that haven't heard it or don't understand it, or are afraid of it, and they just need to know that it's okay. You can read it just to see what it does. You can put it to the test that your word is wonderful and true. So help us to share that, Lord. And we just thank you so much for it, and we thank you for what you do in our lives. And Lord, we just lift up Richard, and we pray, Lord, that as they go down and visit Michael, that you'll help them to have a safe trip. But we also lift Michael up to you, and we lift up his relationship, Lord. And we pray that you would help him to have a relationship that is built on three, that you are absolutely in the midst of it, Lord. And that's what makes a relationship real. That's what makes it work. That's what keeps it for forever, Lord, till death do us part. That's because you're there. And we need you every step of the way. And we thank you for that. And we just lift that up to you. We lift up Jill. And we pray, Lord, that you would help those little bites. Help those little things that she's reaching out for right now. That just the fact that she knows that she needs something, Lord. We know that that something is you. Help her to know that too. Help her to know when she reads the daily bread or takes those little bites of your word, Lord, that she desires more, that she desires more of your word and more of you, and builds a relationship with you, Lord, a relationship of trust and of faith, not of religion. And we just lift that up to you. And we lift up Karen and Karen, and you know exactly what Karen and Karen need, Lord. I don't. I have no idea, but you know. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would be in the middle of that whole thing for both of them, whatever they're both going through right now, and that you would just love them, Lord. Just let them know that they're loved. Father, we just thank you so much. And again, we lift up the service to you, and we offer ourselves to you. We pray that you will do with us what you will, not what we will. Or make what we will the same as yours, and then our joy will be complete. We thank you and praise you and offer this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.